Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Naomi Grace is a South African singer and songwriter who is currently studying a Bachelor of Music at the University of Pretoria. She launched her career in 2021 with the release of her first single, Never Alone, and then released her second single, Three Break, towards the end of 2022. After the release of Three Break, Naomi had multiple radio interviews and made it onto Jacaranda FM's top hits. Her latest single, Screw You, was released in 2024. Naomi was one of the opening acts to perform at the launch of Ross Learmonth's debut album Carousel in 2023, and in 2024 she opened for Neon Dreams. Up next, live in studio at Solo Gold Podcast in Johannesburg, South Africa, is Naomi Grace. And joining me today on the podcast or in the interview is Naomi Grace.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome. It's lovely to meet you. I'm excited to hear about you. So, Naomi, let's dive straight in. Tell us, at what age did you think, cool, you want to be in the music creation entertainment world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Well, I started singing when I was 5 years old, actually. Mm-hmm. And I sang basically my whole life. And I first realized I wanted to be a performer and an entertainer. And that in my grade 10 year, actually, when I went to the Ed Sheeran concert, that was my big moment of realization. And then I actually never really knew how to get into that. Mm. And I think I first started realizing my potential for writing music in my grade 12 year, when I released my first single, which was actually a project for my music subject, which I decided to release just to kind of see. And yeah, it went from there.
So what about the Ed Sheeran concert was like, was the light bulb moment for you to think, cool, this is what I want to do?
It was during one of his performances of his song. I think it was Tenerife Sea. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Tenerife Sea, yes. I also struggle with that pronunciation.
Yes. And I remember everyone put their flashlights on and I looked around and I just saw how he communicated with his audience and just how happy and, you know, present he looked on stage. And I just decided that that was what I wanted to be. And I was with my sister and I looked at her and I went, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
So pre to that, were you just sort of singing for fun? It wasn't like, oh, this is my goal?
Not particularly. I think throughout my life, I wanted to be a performer. I didn't know if it was what I wanted to do as a career. My parents were always very supportive and they really wanted me, I think, to be a singer and that. And I wasn't too sure what I wanted to do. But I loved performing. You know, I was in singing lessons from a young age. I competed in Ice Steadfords and entered some international competitions. And I've always loved performing and I've always loved singing and I've always loved being on stage.
So for the listeners who do not know, what's an Ice Steadford?
So Ice Steadford is a competition in South Africa, and it's basically you go to Ice Steadford and you perform and you get different diplomas. You get like a bronze, silver, gold, and then I think – I can't remember what the highest one was, but yeah, and then you get different rounds.
Yeah.
And then the final round, if you win, you get – or come in second and third place, you get an amount of money. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
And is it just for singing or is it all forms of creativity?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there are different categories, you know, dancing and spoken word and that kind of stuff.
Okay, awesome. So now you're busy studying. What are you studying now?
I'm studying a Bachelor of Music at the University of Pretoria. I'm in my third year now. So next year is my final year, my honors year.
So now what subjects do you learn in a Bachelor's of Music?
At the University of Pretoria and at Wits, they actually have two different streams. So you either go into the classical or the jazz stream. And I decided to go into the jazz stream. And within that, you do music theory. You do a like, it's called a chamber class, which in jazz would be an improv class where the jazz students are all in the class and you improv and you learn to solo over chord progressions and the rep that you're given. And then you have your first instrument module. Mine is obviously singing. And then for your first 2 years, you need to take a second instrument. And I decided to do jazz piano. And then you also do aural training, so listening and being able to sing scales and intervals. And then your music history. I'm trying to think what else we do. Music education, musicology, that's music history. And then you also do general music studies where you learn about musicians' health.
So when you do, obviously you're doing the jazz route.
Yes.
And then the classical. So is everything related to jazz in all those different subjects?
No.
Okay.
So with your music theory, they do mainly classical music theory. And then they have the jazz theory as well added to that, which the classical and the jazz students have to do.
Okay.
And we don't go into too much depth in the jazz theory for all the students, but as a jazz student, you go into more depth within your other classes.
Yes. I don't know if this is an answer you know, so it might be a rhetorical question.
Yes.
So you just tell me, I don't know, if you don't know the answer. Why only jazz and classical are the two avenues? I mean, there's so many different types of genres of music. Would you think potentially, as a person studying, that jazz and classical lays the foundations for the other genres, and that's why that's the two elements or two routes of training, or you're completely unsure?
No. So for the classical, obviously, that's your kind of baseline. Most students throughout your learning process of taking music as a subject and, you know, learning music theory, that is basically your knowledge that you need to know.
Okay.
And for the jazz, I think that they give you that stream because that is where, you know, rock and pop and everything stemmed from.
Okay.
So I think that's why they do it like that.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. You referenced a couple of terms. I'd like you just to explain them for us who do not know. What are scales?
So your scales are what you use throughout your music. It also obviously helps with your aural training. And for example, in your jazz, you get different chord and chord progressions.
Okay.
And when you're soloing throughout a song, so basically it's scatting, you need to use different scales. And scales are also used for your technical work. That's probably the first thing you learn in your instrument to basically move. I don't know how to explain it properly, but move along the different pieces of music. You learn how to recognize where there's a semitone or a half step change in your music.
Okay.
And yeah, it's an important thing to learn, especially when you are looking at your music and you need to sight read or you need to learn your pieces. You learn the different jumps and you learn to pitch better.
And had you known or had learned how to play piano before you took up jazz piano as part of your course?
So I did piano when I was younger. For a few years, which was more classical training for piano. And then I stopped quite early. So when I went into jazz piano, I had some sort of idea, but I'm not the best at it. But learning that really piano is very, very good for learning other instruments. Musicians and, you know, our lecturers will always tell you one of the best things you can do is take piano as an instrument, either in addition to something else. And it's also so good to be the first instrument you learn, because even in singing, it helps with referencing. It helps with music writing. So for me, even though I'm not the most proficient pianist, it helps me with when I am writing a song, putting those different chords, even if they are basic, into my music, especially taking it into production. You can give your producer an idea of what you want it to sound like.
You reference writing your music. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what is invigorated? What motivates it? What inspires it? Do you always write by yourself or do you collaborate with others? Let's unpack your creative brain and creative process.
The motivation behind my songs is personal experiences, things that I've experienced, things that I feel. And I mean, everybody has their own motivation. Everybody has their own process of writing. For me, mine is always It depends. Sometimes I have get a melody in my head randomly, or I have lyrics in my head randomly. That's my process, and that's my motivation behind it. I do write by myself. I plan on collaborating with some of the people in my music departments, in my year, some friends, and even outside I've made connections with some other people that I really want to collaborate with.
When you said that a melody comes into your head, again, this might be because you've sort of been doing it for a couple of years, so I'm not sure for you personally now. How do you know that's a fresh melody, as in the sense that it has never been used before in another song? How do you know that?
So I suppose it all comes down to other songs that you know. And then, I mean, if I take it to my producer, he knows a whole lot of songs and he can say, oh, this sounds very similar to that.
Okay.
I think that's how I kind of figure that out.
Okay. There are millions of people, so many songs. Naturally, you would not have had the opportunity to listen to every single song and or know all the tunes and melodies that are out there.
Yes.
So it's just interesting for me to know, like, how does anyone, not only you, any artist or any creative know, oh, a melody's come through, but, you know, where has that melody come from? Is it not something maybe I subconsciously picked up while I was listening to another song?
Yes.
And that's what's coming through. So it's a fascinating conversation.
That. Yes. So actually, two other songs that I've been busy writing. The one was inspired by another song that I've heard and that I know, the feel and I guess the melody a little bit. Mm-hmm. And another one, my other song that I've started writing, same thing. And I think you need to be careful to make sure that you kind of embellish and change it in your own way. But I think that is something important to note.
What's coming up next?
I've just finished producing my next song, which also really just building my resume in terms of gigging more and performing more. Obviously, I just really want to carry on just releasing singles. And then in the future, either for maybe the end of next year or the following year, releasing my own EP. And then my plan is actually in the following year to move to Cape Town because I just feel like there's a lot of opportunities for me there, a lot of connections as well. And I actually want to start teaching voice on the side. I'm going to be majoring next year in music education to have that under my belt.
Yeah.
And I'm also planning on doing my PGSC qualification for teaching. So, yeah, those are my – I think that's a more basic idea of what I want to do.
So the PGSE, you said?
PGSC.
PGSC.
Yes.
So is that to become a teacher?
Yes.
So basically then a school teacher or just tutoring others with the voice?
Yes, yes. So I want to be a vocal teacher.
Okay.
So just – I think my goal is to teach primary school and maybe the beginning of high school. Mm-hmm. I don't mind going into a school who offer music and doing that or going into music institutions and – also private lessons.
So what do you enjoy about being a vocal coach?
So obviously I haven't really had too much experience with it, but I always said I was never going to teach. I didn't want to be a teacher. And one thing that you learn as soon as you get into the music degree is that your lecturers say you are going to be a teacher, whether you like it or not, and you won't realize it straight away. And I think I first realized it when I was helping some of my peers in my degree who were in the younger years with their jazz stuff and just kind of helping them with what I knew. And I just saw the way my lecturers have so much joy from teaching and how influential it is in sharing your knowledge with that kind of thing. I think it's a very important thing to do as a musician, to help impart knowledge and to help inspire people to go into that field.
You mentioned you want to add on to live shows or live gigs onto your CV and repertoire. So what do you enjoy about performing live?
My main thing is communicating with an audience, sharing your music and your experience and allowing them to feel that what they feeling is not just something that they're experiencing. I think with my music, I write a lot about, you know, heartbreak, and that's my main inspiration.
<Okay. laughs>
The other thing is I really enjoy writing about how I feel and while I do write for myself, once you've released your music, it's not really yours anymore. Mm. You know, I love seeing how people respond to my music. And I love just, yeah, communicating with an audience and being on stage and being able to give a live performance so that they can actually see how you perform your songs, how you feel about your songs. I think through listening through other platforms, you know, you don't get to actually see, you only get to hear. You can hear what you're putting out through it and through the way you interpret it. But I think being for people to be able to see, you know, that kind of thing. And also even performing covers, it's so nice to see the way they join in and just feel so a part of it and the experience of it and everything.
I'm that dude that's right in front dancing, jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for one or two videos, one or two photos, and I put it away. Oftentimes you find people, especially here in the front, they're videoing, they're posting, they're tweeting, whatever, for a portion of the time.
Yes.
So from the person on the stage seeing phones, does that take away from all those elements you were referring to earlier, or is just where society is at the moment?
I think it is majority of where society is. I think it can be a bit daunting for people to share stuff because obviously through their stuff, especially as a new musician, they're going to share it. And a lot of people who don't know you are going to see it. And that can be quite daunting. And thinking about, well, if someone sees this, will they enjoy it? Will they be like, oh, I want to go see that person perform? But I think at the same time, it is very beneficial. You know, it's nice to see that people are enjoying what you're putting out so much that they want to share it on social media. But I think it's something you have to adjust to because it's just the time that we're in. And obviously, I'm just speaking for myself
here. Yes, actually, yeah. Now, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time simply because there are millions of them.
Yes.
I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
I think my first one would be Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of my favorite songs. This is quite on the spot. Definitely an Adele song. Top of my head, It Was All You, None of It, Me. I can't remember.
Is it on the latest album? Or?
No. One of her past albums.
Okay.
It's a very upbeat song. I can't remember the name.
That's fine.
Now.
So it will give the listening audience and viewing audience some homework to go Google which song they like from those albums.
Yes.
Perfect.
Definitely.
So number three.
Oh, number three. I want to say Akana Mali by Sanal Musician. That's one of my favorite songs. Gosh, this is quite
on
the
spot. If you can't think of songs, there's maybe 2 other artists.
Will Lindley. I really love his songs. I'm very big fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another friend of mine, Helena Bowie, who I'm really, really into at the moment. And he has a song, Queen, that I just love playing in the car. And then I think right now, Sabrina Carpenter, specifically her song, Bad for Business, off of her previous album.
Okay.
Emails I Can't Send. I think, I don't know if that was 4 artists or 5 artists. I don't know where I am.
It was
now.
About right. So.
About right.
Yes,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Some I need to add to mine. Some already on mine. So thank you for that. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I think something that I really love to say and something that's very on my heart constantly in terms of this industry and performing and being a musician is that it's very, very scary going into this industry, especially in South Africa. And, you know, one thing I've heard telling people that, oh, I'm a musician and I want to be an artist and a performer. One of the things I hear a lot is, how's that going to be for you financially? You know, how are you going to do that? How are you going to get there? It's very difficult. But I just believe that with hard work and a lot of passion, that it is so, so possible. And it is, it's pushing and it is just constantly trying to build connections and release your music. But I just believe that if you want to do it, you can do it. And while it's really hard, trying not to let those negative things come into your mind and to constantly rely on how you feel and what your passion is and also finding people around you that really support you. I think that's something I'm very blessed with. My parents have been so, so amazing with the way they support me, the way they always make a plan to help me in my dreams and all of that, and also friends and the support you have, and also just writing what you feel. It's okay to do that. You know, you don't need to impress anybody. That's the most important thing, because what you put out there really connects your audience with who you are and what you want to be. And just being so intentional about that and being so, so real.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.